The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Join in at 770-5633. Like the man said, I was going to talk with John Richardson. For some reason, John Richardson, even though he lives out here on the West Coast, not answering the phone call. I don't know what happens. Sometimes this happens, and a guest you think you're going to have on just ends up being out of cell range or whatever it is. We'll try to get him rescheduled, and he has that that site that he runs, OperationWorldWithoutCancer.com. We'll try to get him back on rescheduled. I was really looking forward to talking with him. I was thinking, like, this is like the perfect Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest, given that the latest surveys are talking about the cancer rate for men expected to double within the next 20, 25 years. CNN actually had this study out. It was in one of the cancer journals, and they're talking about this. This just seems to be something that they are seeing, just an overall trend. Of course, is it lifestyle, something else? You know, there are all sorts of permutations of life that could be affecting this. PFAS. Gosh, we could go all over that, but we'll try to get a hold of John, at another time. Okay. Meanwhile, 770-563-3770-KMED. Couple of stories that I saw in the Portland newspaper, the Portland Oregonian. I don't think they print anymore, but we'll just talk about it online, OLive, OregonLive.com. And what do you think about, I'm just going to kind of read some of it. It has to do with shootings at a Portland cannabis store. It's a LaMota Cannabis Dispensary. And they've been having a real problem up in the Portland area. I don't know if we've had as much of a problem with the dispensaries being stuck up and robbed around here, but in Portland, they've had a hellacious issue going on. And so here's how the report was sent out a couple of weeks ago from Oregon Live. Shooting at Portland cannabis store that killed two people stemmed from armed robbery, police say. This according to police and an employee with the City of Portland's cannabis program, who testified at the city council on Wednesday about growing concerns facing marijuana businesses locally. The site of the shooting, the St. John's branch of LaMota, had been targeted in at least four previous armed robberies in the past 3 years. So every few months, LaMota has people walking in with guns, and they're sticking them in the employees' faces and saying, "Hand over the cash," that sort of thing. Now, Christina Corsi, who was the cannabis and liquor programs manager for the city of Portland, says, as time progresses, these criminals are getting more brazen and the consequences for our Portland businesses are becoming more severe. Data from the police bureau showing 33 robberies reported at cannabis businesses the first half of 2023, higher than the annual totals from each year, from 2016 to 2022. According to cops, highest number of offenses occurred between 8 and midnight. LaMota shooting occurred just after 9:30, according to the cops. Among the four armed robberies since 2022, two of them took place close to 10 o'clock at night. Okay, so we had a couple of guys that were shot to death by an employee at LaMota. This was two, 3 weeks ago, and they're reporting on what a horrible, you know, crime thing. And boy, it's getting really bad for the employees. Now, this morning, in the same paper, this cannabis dispensary employee was arrested. Cannabis dispensary employee arrested, accused of fatally shooting two suspects of attempted robbery at store. Jason Steiner, a 34-year-old, turned himself into Portland police Wednesday and was booked into Multnomah County's downtown jail on allegations of two counts of second-degree murder and two counts of unlawful use of a weapon. Now, remember, for weeks, police in Portland have been saying, well, yeah, it was, you know, we're looking at witnesses. It's obviously it's an armed robbery. Officials identified the people who died as 18-year-old King Lawrence and 20-year-old Tahir Burley. Both are from Milwaukee, according to police. Police seeking a third person in connection with the robbery, but they did not give a name or description. Now, last week's shooting happened just after 9:30 on Thursday. North Portland store had been targeted by at least four previous armed robberies. A sign outside the business last week said it stopped letting customers in after 9 o'clock at night because of this. and instead they directed customers to a drive-thru window unless they could provide an ID. In June of this year, one employee was working when five people entered the store with guns and stole about 11 grand worth of marijuana products and cash, according to reports. All of the individuals wore masks and filled up trash bags of money and products in the store before taking off. This according to the OLCC, okay? So, a week or two ago, this guy who shot... By the way, I have to go a little bit in here because they're talking about the victims. These are the victims of the evil LaMotta cannabis worker here. Lawrence and Burley are the city's 57th and 58th homicide victims this year. Burley graduated from Reynolds Learning Academy in 2022. The Learning Academy, okay? An obituary said that his first name, Tahir, means pure in Arabic. He played football and basketball growing up and enjoyed playing video games and making music, according to his family. In 2022, K2TV posted a video of Burley sharing encouraging words to graduating seniors. "We are all a flower just waiting to be watered and blossom into sunlight to be something amazing," Burley said. Question I have for you. Just from what I've told you here right now, 2 weeks ago, we're talking about a place which is always getting held up, armed robbers, and so two armed robbers come in, are shot and killed. They were armed, apparently, from all accounts. The cannabis worker is arrested. The cannabis dispensary employee is arrested. And they're charging him with second-degree murder. Maybe there's more to this story at this point, but from what I'm looking at right now, this is reminding me very much of Michael Strickland. Remember Michael Strickland? Kevin Starrett and I would talk about this from time to time. Remember Michael Strickland when the mob came after him, the Black Lives Matter mob? And remember, they had already broken his arm one time when he was out there covering the liberal goings on with Antifa and all the rest of it in the city of Portland. And all he did was pull his firearm when they were coming towards him. He's telling them to back off. And, of course, people like that had already beaten him up and broken his arm a little earlier in his coverage. It's back when he had a YouTube channel, and he would always be covering all of the antics of the left in Portland. Well, the system went after him. He's a convicted felon now. They're trying to get this appeal, but it's just been a mess. I haven't really kept track of this one, but as far as I'm concerned, this was a, is this another example? Is this another example, do you think, that of Portland politically prosecuting someone because they used a gun to defend themselves from a couple of other gun wielders? I guess, do you have a duty to take a shot or two from the armed robber? Maybe there's more to it, but... I'm suspicious about this story. I don't know about you. Maybe we could talk about that. Is Portland done? If you're at the point where you can't defend yourself against a couple of armed robbers that are breaking into your store between 9 and 10 at night, well, I don't know. That's a pretty rough time. How are they going to save the city? This is the Bill Myers Show.
Saudis drop the petrol. Times are changing fast. Russia, China, the BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, J. Austin and Company. We'll help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. J. Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service. Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage. I just want to say a huge thank you to our friends and neighbors who voted to make us 2024 Gold Medal winners for Best of Southern Oregon. Without loyal customers like you who recognize our commitment to the highest standard of service, we're just another place to get an oil change. So thank you for your continued support. And thanks again for choosing American Rancher Garage. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule an appointment with us today. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time. A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking the property, the site selection. They were very methodical, very careful. I was impressed with their entire approach.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
It's gutter season. The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing's custom gutter division after the last downpour. We've been busy custom fabricating robust gutters on site in a choice of 30 colors guaranteed to survive the weight of falling water and space dust. So if your gutters need to be repaired or replaced, give Fontana a call before the wet weather sets in. We also install gutter covers, too, to keep those pesky leaves from clogging your downspouts. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
24 minutes after 7. Open phones continue. We go through some of the normal stories of the day here. 770-5633. Let me talk with Eric. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind today on Conspiracy Theory Thursday?
Yeah, my voter's pamphlet doesn't have Trump in it, and it just blew my mind. And I'm wondering what's going on.
President Trump and his campaign did not purchase. They did not purchase an ad or a statement in the 2024 voter's pamphlet. That's what happened.
Wow. Really? And that's for every state, I wonder, or is it just Oregon?
I don't know. I don't know if the other states have similar, if they have these voters' pamphlets like the state of Oregon has. But no, he didn't buy it for whatever reason. And I don't know, maybe he figures that we know. The other aspect of this is that he doesn't believe that Oregon is in play. I'm thinking that maybe what's going on, and he's thinking that he's thinking that there's no point in using the money, the campaign money.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but still, wouldn't you have thought that $3,000 or so, $3,500, I think is what it is, that you should have put it in there?
Yeah, and what's weird is Kennedy is supposed to be with the Trump team, and he's running in there as New World Order, or New World, We the People, I mean.
Hey, I like that. That's a great Freudian slip there, okay? Yeah. He's running there as the New World Order candidate. You know, hey, who knows, right? You know, I love that.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there either. So.
Now, do you think it would have been important? This is an interesting question to ask you here, if you don't mind. Do you think it would have been an interesting or a good move for President Trump to have put his name in the voter's pamphlet? What do you think? Yay or nay? And, you know, like I said, it's like $3,500. It's not huge money, but maybe a little bit more. I don't know. But what are you thinking?
No, I mean, if it's not that much money, I don't know why he wouldn't do it. Because, I mean, what's he showing to the people right now? I don't know what that blew me away. Why wouldn't he put it in there? Because everybody else has got their spiel in there. You might as well put it in there.
Now, I realize that back at the time, I know that, of course, RFK Jr. has now, of course, is siding in and is a friend of the Trump campaign now. The thing is, though, is that he's only coming off of the ballot in states that are battleground states. So that way he's still on the ballot here in Oregon. So, you know, RFK Jr. will still be on that. And I guess it was one of those things where he didn't want to be a spoiler in the battleground. That's supposedly the logic, which is going on here right now. But it is kind of interesting to have probably something that Republicans, a person who Republicans talk about more than anything else going on right now, and yet he's not in the voters' pamphlet. Isn't that kind of odd, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that it wasn't a conspiracy, that he was being kept out of it somehow. Or that, and this was even something coming from Chris Walker, the Jackson County clerk, sent this out saying, hey, just remember, Trump's on the ballot, but He's not in the voters' pamphlet. Boat. It's not us. You know, everyone's right. Kind of trying to wave us off. So just so you know, that's what happened. The campaign had to do it. Had to actually purchase that.
Okay. Huh.
Okay.
All right. Well, sounds good.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Eric. I would still love to find out what was the logic there. Can you think about it? I mean, when it comes right down to it, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, even if it was $10,000 to be in the Oregon voters pamphlet, that's chump change, isn't it? Why would you even not bother to go in the voters pamphlet? It's probably the cheapest ad that you can possibly get. That was one which I've never been able to quite understand. What about you? 770-563-3770-KMED. So we can talk about that if you wish, all right? All right. So Hurricane Milton. By the way, I don't know if I told you, I haven't been able to get in touch with my daughter, Sarah, this morning. She has not given me an update this morning. But from all accounts, yeah, we had a few people that died in tornadoes. And she was end up being hiding from the tornadoes just last night or yesterday. Actually, she spent quite a bit of time in shelter avoiding the tornadoes that were coming down in her neighborhood. So anyway, if I get an update, I'll let you know about that. Speaking of Donald Trump, though, since we were just a moment ago, Donald Trump said something which I think makes absolute sense. I didn't know if you heard about this story. Another a campaign pledge that he made the other day. He's reaching out to people who don't live in America and yet are still American citizens. Donald Trump said he supports, and by the way, this is on Wall Street Journal, by the way. You can see it yourself. Donald Trump said he supports lowering taxes on United States citizens who live abroad. And this is a new attempt by the former president, they write, to win support from an often overlooked group of voters. The United States has a pretty weird system, folks. I don't know if you know about this. But if you are an American citizen and you go overseas, and maybe you live overseas, maybe you've been living, let's say that you go to work for Microsoft and you're working for one of their data people and you're working in Ireland, let's say. You're in Ireland and you're in Scotland or you're over in Germany or something like that. Well, not only do you have to pay your local taxes and all of your EU taxes, et cetera, in other words, your taxes if you're, earning your income there, but you also have to pay American income tax. And a lot of people just didn't realize this. And it's a huge, huge burden for a lot of people who are still American citizens and also people who found themselves accidental American citizens. I don't know if you realize that. There are a lot of people who find themselves trapped by the American tax system because, all right, mom and dad, we're here on a vacation or something. Kid is given birth. They move back to Germany or wherever it is. But yet the kid is considered an American citizen. Kid doesn't really know. Kid never moves to America. Kid's never lived in America. He's overseas. But then the IRS catches up with him or her and says, okay, pay up. We're one of the only countries, one of the only major Western countries in the entire world that still does this. They use an example in Wall Street Journal here that an American living in Paris would have tax obligations to both France and the United States, although the U.S. tax code already contains features meant to mitigate double taxation. But a French citizen who lives in New York typically wouldn't owe France any taxes on U.S. income, but the reverse always ends up happening. So President Trump said he would like to do that in his next administration. That would actually be a good thing, all right? That's why you've had so many people overseas that used to live in America, but yet they're still American citizens. They're trying to renounce their American citizenship. They renounce their American citizenship because they're tired of being told that they have to pay not only the overseas taxes, but taxes to the United States of America, too. So interesting story there. 770-5633. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Good morning. Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Hey, Bill. This is Brian. How are you today?
Doing fine, Brian. What are you thinking on your mind, huh?
I'm enjoying the clouds, for one.
Yeah, me too.
Real quick on the tax thing.
Yeah.
That's true. We have a lot of friends that travel overseas and live part-time over there. They do have to pay taxes both places.
That's kind of insult to injury, isn't it? Because almost no country will, no other country will charge you taxes in their country for the income you're making here, if you're living here, right? But we do the opposite, and it's like, yikes.
Yeah. So real quick on the conspiracy theory about Trump not being on the ballot. So
yeah.
Remember back several months ago when JFK Jr. or Robert Jr.
Yeah, RFK Jr.
Go with Trump. Mm-hmm. Go with Trump. Remember he said he was going to leave his name on the ballot in
yes.
a lot of states?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to take votes away from Biden. So if Trump's name's not on the ballot, Biden or RFK Jr. will get those votes, which drops Biden's votes.
Okay, well, just understand that Trump is on the ballot.
Right, but on the, in the voter's guide, people in their mind are like, hey, he's not on the ballot. I'm going to vote for RFK.
Oh.
I think it's a mind game, just specifically.
Okay, so you're thinking the idea is to not drive Trump turnout
right.
as much as it is to
take away
from Kamala. Oh, okay.
Kamala for sure.
I don't know. You'd have to take away an awful lot of votes before it would probably make an effect, though.
Well, in this state, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't,
Oh, okay.
I was listening to you this morning. I'm like, he said he was going to leave his name on the ballot. If he's going to back Trump, why is he staying on a ballot in about 11 states, I think is what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was just doing it. The only states he was going to try to help Donald Trump in were the battleground states that could actually define or, you know, actually decide the election here. Now, Oregon is heavily in favor of Kamala. But, you know, the one way of looking at this, though, you know how Oregon has signed on to that compact for national popular vote? You're familiar with that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So even though Donald Trump is not in play, in Oregon for the electoral college votes, and that seems to be pretty clear right now, it's still important to vote for him one way or the other, because I don't know if there's anything that is so weird in this system that all of these liberal states that have gone for national popular vote, and they have pledged, they all signed this compact with one another. I don't know how legal it is, but the idea is that their take is that whoever wins the national popular vote would end up getting those states' electoral college votes. So even though Kamala Harris will most likely win the electoral college vote here in the state of Oregon, if for some reason Donald Trump is able to eke out a national popular vote win, even with losing the vote in Oregon, every one of those national popular votes would count for Donald Trump in this particular case. So wouldn't it be interesting that the Democrats, thinking that they're going to play a fast one here, hey, it'll be Democrats forever, you know, I don't know what, you know. Yeah, well,
isn't it 50 states having their own election?
Yes.
I mean, how would you do a national? I mean, you'd have to skirt 50 different rules and laws and policies in each state.
It's not changing the election. The election process is, because even right now, it's, you know, you have 50 states that are doing 50 elections, but you're actually doing an election for the Electoral College vote in your state,
right?
Because Electoral College actually elects the president, and then. So you have the Electoral College doing this. They just pledge that their Electoral College votes will go to the winner of the national popular vote if it ends up being that close. Now, this whole thing, and of course you heard about Tim Walz. Tim Walz saying that he wants to get rid of the Electoral College. Most of the communists want to get rid of this too, because they just want to be able to concentrate on voting for president in the urban hive minds. Because if that ends up being the case, then it's over. You'll never see another presidential candidate ever come to Oregon again, because it's not worth the trouble. Wouldn't be worth the trouble. You just go to Los Angeles, you go to Chicago, you go to Miami, you'll go to New York, you know, that kind of thing. That's how they do this. That's what they want.
Also because most of the Democrats won't go to probably areas that are pretty gun-ridden, I should say.
Yeah, for good reason, all right? So anyway, that's what's going on. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 770-5633. And we will continue with the news and views and your calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Next, if you're on hold, I'll be right with you. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Wednesday was the first day of testimony in the Negasi Zuberi trial in Medford. He's accused of kidnapping a Seattle prostitute and holding her in a makeshift cell in his garage. The alleged victim testified Wednesday, describing multiple rapes while shackled on the car trip from Seattle to Klamath Falls and her eventual escape from the cell. She was found by a Depot Bay tourist while running down the street looking for help. A powerful X-class solar flare could make it possible to see the northern lights over Oregon tonight. A rating of 7 on the KP index is needed for Oregon to see the aurora borealis, and current predictions are for a KP 8. The latest batch of voters registered incorrectly through the state's motor voter program may have been discovered too late to stop them from receiving ballots for the upcoming election. The Oregon Association of County Clerks says those 302 ballots have been inactivated and will not be counted. They say the clerks will follow state and federal laws to count every eligible ballot. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hurricane Milton has left a path of death and destruction. Tragically, at least 4 deaths have been confirmed in the aftermath of the storm after it made landfall last night. Of course, that number could rise. Forecasters warning the biggest danger of the storm could be the flooding, as all of that rainfall has to make its way back to the ocean. And the storm itself now moving out into the Atlantic Ocean. Florida Republican Congressman Mike Waltz told the Salem Radio Network that Milton also poses some national security threats, as some special forces have their headquarters in the storm's path. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week jumped to their highest level in a year, in a possible sign of softness in the labor market. The Labor Department reports applications for jobless claims jumped by 33,000 to 258,000 for the week of October 3rd. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley Nursery. Fall has arrived, and it's a fantastic time for planting trees. And we have the best quality and selection, now 20 to 36% off. It's also a great time to plant hedges and screens, creating privacy in your backyard. Now 20% off. For more fall promotions, color, and choice you won't see anywhere else, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map Valley View Nursery and find us closer than you think.
One of each K4 VIN 014548 MSRP 24145 Telluride VIN 563162 MSRP 42930585872210 K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 10/31/24.
It's time to trade in and take off in a new Kia at Kia Medford. Trade in your old vehicle for cash, then shop our huge selection of brand new Kias. Take off in the all new 2025 Kia K4 LXS, just $169 a month lease, or a new 2024 Kia Telluride S all-wheel drive, only $239 a month lease. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds. With no effect on your credit score. Then join us in the fight against breast cancer with $100 of every sale going to Access, a charity right here in Medford. Trade in and take off at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
You're looking for a career and not a job, or maybe you're already working a boring job and you want more out of life, but you're not sure what to do. Nursing Pathways at Asante has an answer, a career in healthcare. Pacific Healthcare Training in Central Point has a secure, recession-proof opportunity for you. Our local hospitals want to invest in you, and they'll pay for your training. Scholarship money available, tuition reimbursement too, good wages and benefits. PacificHealthcareTraining.com. Now that's a career. Call today.
I'm Claudette Moore, former Medford City Councilperson.
My name's Terry Baker, and I'm the mayor of Phoenix.
I'm Dave Wright with CPM Real Estate Services, and I support Randy Sparacino.
I'm supporting Randy Sparacino.
I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. I've known Randy Sparacino for several years. He was chief of police in Medford, now he's mayor of Medford, and he's doing a fantastic job running that city, keeping it safe, and helping as many people as he can.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
742-770-5633, your calls. And noodling around the news on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hello, Tim. You had a question about the vote? Go ahead.
Yes,
two questions. One is there a way to check registered to vote?
Okay, one more time on that, Tim. I lost you on the cell phone. Go ahead again.
I want to know how to check to see if we're still registered to vote.
Oh.
And I asked that because Tina Kotek is now doing, what is it, an investigation on the voting, some of the voting things, voting fraud.
Yeah, right? The call is for an audit, and of course, whatever is done on based on all the people who are registered to vote who are not supposed to be, nothing will change for this particular election cycle. But as far as where you go to find out, Tim, if you're registered to vote and if everything's current and if you're going to get a ballot, I got to tell you, that part's really easy. All you have to do is go on the web to sos.oregon.gov, and there's a set. Yeah, that's the Secretary of State's office, LaVon Griffin Vallade, and it's sos.oregon.gov, sos.oregon.gov, and then there's a section on it called My Vote, all right? And it takes you through. Now, you have to go through the CAPTCHA thing in which you have to say, okay, what's this letter combination, et cetera, and they'll make you do that a couple of times. But once you get through, you put in your information, and you'll be able to come up with your voter registration, party, what ballot is going to be mailed to you, the address and everything else, and they'll tell you if you're current, okay?
Cool. Thank you, sir.
All right, and it's easy, and it just took a minute, and I did it myself just a few minutes ago during the break just to make sure that actually works, okay? So there we go. Okay, Lynn's online. Hello, Lynn. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Lots of thoughts from the last calls, but conspiracy theory Thursday. Mm. I wanted to point out first, though, there's some polling that suggests Trump may actually win the popular vote this year. So that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, there is some interesting polling which is saying that. And the fact that some of it's saying it's winning right now, they tend to underestimate Trump's appeal, usually by a couple of points. Now, you can't take that to the bank. You can't. But
no, they're going to try to steal it, too. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, the cheat machine has not exactly been vanquished at this point in time, as you well know. And I don't like saying
but
that's just the reality. The one thing I would make sure that people need to understand is that isn't there a possibility of hoisting the Democrats up by their own petard with their national vote compact, with a national popular vote compact in which Kamala Harris could win the Electoral College vote in Oregon. And yet, if there's a national popular vote that shows that Trump won the national popular, they have pledged to give their votes to the winner of the national popular vote. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Which of course they won't, but that's why it's important, even in Oregon, where supposedly it doesn't matter mm-hmm. to vote for Trump as well as red all the way down the ballot.
I would also say it's important to vote for President Trump, not only for that, but also to make sure and get those down ballot people taken care of. Because, it might be easy to say, yeah, Trump is not advertising in Oregon because he's not in play. I mean, we figure that. He doesn't think mm-hmm. he's in play. His internal polling doesn't show him in play. And it's because of Portland and Multnomah County. We know that. It's just the way that goes. It's a numbers game. But that doesn't mean that the rest of it is not important. It's all important, though. It really is.
It's all important.
Okay.
So here's my conspiracy theory. Nobody's talking about the debt. Trump's not talking about it either. Maybe it's politically inexpedient, but, officially we're up to, I think, $36 trillion now.
Yes.
Going up a trillion every 90 days, I think, and that's not counting promises made to Medicare and Social Security.
And I would also add that we just had the deficit for 2025 announced, and I think it's going to be $1.8 trillion, if I recall correctly, on last time. So just if everything is just going on with status quo right now, another $1.8 trillion is borrowed to finance it, and there doesn't appear to be a plan at this point in time.
Well, there is a plan, but the plan is to take us down and take the world down and put us all into a world government and a digital ID and digital currency. And so, I'm not suggesting Trump is part of that. I don't know how much he actually knows. But the fact that nobody's talking about it and nobody's doing anything about it or even discussing it, we are going to have to default, and probably sooner rather than later. Martin Armstrong says he thinks we'll default against our enemies first. But that'll start a whole cascade of events.
Yes.
And I just read about, like, it's really scary for me to even read the stuff about the Great Taking, where, you know, apparently the laws have been changed all around the world that nobody actually legally owns anything anymore. We have the right to beneficial ownership, but everything's been pledged as collateral.
I think they called the term, wasn't the term that David Webb used, hypothecating? Everything. It's like, you know, even if you end up having your stocks and bonds in your particular brokerage account, that brokerage account essentially could be called upon by other powers, other financial powers, that sort of thing.
Right. So I think these are very dangerous times, and we really need to make a big, fat, hairy deal about it, especially if Trump wins and by some miracle gets into office. There's a lot of steps.
Even if he wins the election, then the real battle begins. Will he actually be allowed to take the office, right? That's how I'm looking at it. You know, the lawfare would break open like within seconds of a winner being announced. You know that.
Yeah, and there's going to be riots in the blue cities all over the country, and it's going to be chaos and insanity, and the media will lie. So I think there are a lot of people praying, and there's a lot of evidence that a lot of people are coming to faith, people that you would never believe, like Russell Brand. I mean, I've seen him now on, they had a Restore the Republic event, I think in Southern California, and Russell Brand is on the stage on his knees, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, asking God to rescue us.
Of all people?
This is, you know,
really?
A former comedian and movie star. Yeah. And he's brilliant, too.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the same. We're seeing all sorts of strange political bedfellows. Like I even said, if you had told me 4 years ago that Elon Musk would be standing on stage with President Trump, I would have said, oh, come on. You're right.
You know, right.
Forget about it.
And California, he's not in California anymore, but California just passed a law banning voter ID. It's like, so obviously they want to cheat to steal everything. That's obvious. And the people that actually love the country and love their freedom, both liberal and conservative, that's that new realignment. I don't know if it's enough, but it's exciting to see what's happening. So.
You know, back to the debt, though. One of the biggest challenges here is there's going to be a come to Jesus one way or the other on the debt at some point. I don't know if they can keep, and I don't claim to understand this completely, because I know that there are lots of ways to finagle the financialization of the American economy. They've been doing it for a long, long time. We produce dollars rather than really, you know, producing stuff, as it were. We have services and dollars that we export as debt, and they're debt. It's debt-based currency. Whoever is president is going to be probably facing a currency crisis within their four-year term. I don't know if there's any other way they
100%.
Can
avoid it. Yeah. 100%.
And so maybe the plan is that Trump is the guy, because maybe Trump is the fall guy, according to the you know, the globalist conspiracy, if you want to look at it that way.
Well, I just, you know, like he says, he's the only one standing between us and total slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, he will stop the central bank digital currencies, and that's incredibly important.
Yeah, hope you're right about that. Appreciate the call there, Lynn. Thank you. 770-5633. Ron is chewing on it in Grants Pass. Hello, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a way to change this whole problem. Right now, if seven of the counties of Oregon vote towards Biden or for Harris, and the other 29 don't, they vote for Trump, mm-hmm. It seems like the bad guys get all the electoral votes. Now, what happens if the counties each are counted as separate precincts, kind of thing? And so now you have 29 that are for Trump and seven for Harris. So now you do that in every state, and you get a more accurate and fair distribution of electoral votes.
So you're talking about distributing votes, electoral votes, electoral college votes via county, right? That kind of thing?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Here's the challenge with that, is that there was a Supreme Court decision, and I don't have that fact right in front of me. It was in the early 1960s. And what was it? And it had to do with, because essentially the counties of Oregon, even the counties including Oregon, we were kind of involved with our own electoral college kind of thing back in the days, kind of what you describe. And then that ran afoul of the Supreme Court saying that, you know, it was really about one person, one vote. And they didn't really permit the Electoral College version of the states to stand. And that ended in the early 1960s. I will have to look that up. I forget the name of the case, but I've talked about this before, Ron.
But my thought is it would be much more equitable, if you like, for every county to count as their own electoral vote. And if that went throughout the United States, you would minimize or eliminate the cheating.
Oh, I agree with you that that would work. It would not be permitted. It is not permitted by a Supreme Court ruling to do that, because right now the Electoral College votes are actually through congressional districts, right?
I would remind everybody that they overthrew Roe v. Wade from previous Supreme Court ruling because it was not considered fair.
Right.
And or equitable. And so I say the same thing should happen now for that Supreme Court ruling that you brought up.
Well,
that,
the Supreme Court ruling would be saying that in essence that, you know, you are disenfranchising the urban hive minds by not counting their votes more because they had more people. That's essentially where they came up with. One man, one vote. That's where we are. Democracy. Yikes. Appreciate the call there, Ron. Just telling you, so that's what it is. That would be a big one if you want to. You have to bring that up and re-challenge it, I guess. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, this is John.
Hi, John.
I had a curious thing show up on my cell phone.
What's that?
Yesterday. It was Josephine County Republican, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was labeled spam.
Oh, really?
I don't read anything that comes across the phone anyway, so it didn't matter. But
Well, you know, my thing is, though, wait a minute. I mean, out of all this garbage that I'm getting from, you know, from all sorts. Well, here's one that I got. Let me see if I can find that. I had it in here someplace. Hi, William. This is the Yes on Measure 118 campaign. Thanks to 170,000 Oregonians, we're on the November ballot. Voting yes on 118 means yearly rebates of $1,600 for you and every Oregon. Oregonian kids included, paid for by making giant corps pay their fair share in taxes. Are you voting yes? Now, that's not considered political spam. But something from the Josephine County Republican Party is?
Oh, that's sort of what I was getting. I didn't get any of the others. So.
Oh, so you haven't had the pleasure of getting the Measure 118 communists getting at you. You will, okay? So just look for it.
I just thought I mentioned that.
Oh, I know. I got to tell you, most of the people that are the good guys getting up, getting marked as, and this is something, by the way, thanks for the call. That's something which is very common with me. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I have to go into my spam on a daily basis because it's amazing how many of the good guys are marked spam. But boy, Kamala Harris's stuff gets put to my inbox all the time, and I have to mark it as spam. Are you sure you want to mark it as spam? You sure you don't want to unsubscribe from Kamala Harris for president? Yes, I am. Mark it as spam. Boom. Finally, then it shows up in spam. But everything from a Republican ends up going to spam first. So don't tell me they don't have a thumb on the scale, okay? We'll grab one more call. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hi.
Yes, Matt.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, so last night I was bouncing around the idea of who I thought would be a successor should Trump win.
Mm-hmm.
Because does the MAGA movement die? That's what the left is saying. If somebody can kill him, then you kill the MAGA movement. And I'm thinking to myself, is that true? Is that what would happen? Would people walk away from it and say, well, you know, we had this guy point in time.
Yeah. In other words, is it only the cult of personality, right? Is there anything that goes beyond President Trump?
What happened with Ross Perot? He jumped out of the red, jumped back in. He kind of, you know, hosed the whole thing. And then he's basically been forgotten. Now, Trump is a bigger personality, but what happens if he loses? What happens if he wins? I'm asking you, Bill.
Oh, you're asking me?
Your take is. I'm asking you.
At this point in time, and I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to be proven wrong. I think that Trump being out of it would suck so much oxygen away from the movement that I'm sure that the standard country club Republican would love that. Okay? What do you think?
Well, I'm wondering what the people think, honestly, because I think this is really more to do with people than it is with politicians. Not that politicians aren't people,
but I would dare say the people have put a lot of energy onto this one particular individual, this one unique personality.
It feels that way sometimes when people call into your show.
Yes.
And I just wonder if they've given any thought to what will they do if he loses? What will they do if he wins? My thought is if he wins, he needs to shut up and get to work. I don't want to hear anything else from him for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I go ahead and come out once in a while and give us an update on what you're doing and how things are progressing. But as far as rallies or anything else, I don't want to hear or see any of that. I just need him to get to work. And then I think the things like Charlie Kirk is doing and Scott Pressler, increasing Republican voter registration is going to be critical. Still is. No matter what happens with the election this time, is critical for that to continue to move forward, especially the youth vote. I saw some interesting numbers yesterday that 41% now it's, as of 2024, 41% of the population attends college to one degree or another. They don't all get a diploma, of course,
right,
but they attend. And Kamala Harris has a mammoth advantage with college educated. And the two most reliable voting blocks for conservatives have always been non-college educated and the military. Well, the military's been gutted. And you have apparently more kids going to college. I think a lot of the number of kids who actually graduate is tiny compared to how many actually sign up for that first year. But I'm just wondering if people will continue to stay motivated to keep moving forward. When I see numbers like 17 million Christians aren't even going to vote in this election, and how many people who are members of the NRA don't vote at all, will those people motivated by Trump, will they be like those the people in rural Georgia who didn't show up when they had the Senate races going on there and basically gave up two Senate seats to hardcore leftists in Georgia? So I'm just curious to see where are Americans if Trump's not there? Will they pick up the mantle, or are we going to prove once again that we should be more afraid of a bunch of sheep led by a lion than a bunch of lions led by a sheep? If Trump is the lion, will the sheep step up?
That's a great question. I have not seen evidence that the step up would continue. Not yet. I haven't seen that. Have you?
Only in the fact that this movement, this time around, Trump picked up the Bernie Bros in 16, right? So he picked up that far left, and they're not, when you say far left, they're not socially far left. They're more far left in that they feel like they've been left out. I guess I would say the far left out.
Right.
Right. So when I look at the people Trump has put together, you made a good point by him reaching out to people who are sort of, they're expats. They've moved to another country. They're paying taxes both places. And he's reaching out saying, hey, let's get them back in. The fact that there's been a big push this time around to reach out to voters who are infrequent. They might only vote once every 4 years or once every 8 years, low propensity voters. And then when I look at the coalition, I'm fine to see Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, and Liz Cheney and all these other knuckleheads. I'm fine to see them move over to the Democrat side. I'm perfectly fine with it because I do think we've moved on from that.
Well, remember, though, we're back to what I've been talking about, is that really the two types of voters that we have at this point in time are you for the agenda? In other words, our status quo agenda of never-ending war abroad and never-ending welfare at home, or are you different? Isn't that really where we are?
Yeah, I guess what I see is different. When you can get a guy like Elon Musk, and not just because of the money, but certainly his influence is tremendous because of that. But he also has tremendous accomplishment. When you can get someone like him, a Tulsi Gabbard, an RFK Jr., a Vivek Ramaswamy, you can get all these various factions. I mean, the fact that you have, huge unions where you get, 55-65% of these giant unions who always voted for Democrats have now said they've left us. We now have a home. That's why I come back to that question. Will they line up and say, look,
Trump won. He spent his 4 years. He did the stuff we wanted him to do. We're going to stay with the Republican Party for now. But who fills that void? Is it J.D. Vance? Is it a guy like Ron DeSantis? Is it Vivek Ramaswamy?
Yeah, I can't answer that right now.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I would say no, they don't. Okay.
Yeah, so I'd be interested to hear what your other callers think about that, who they think could fill the void.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let's hope we don't have to fill the void right away, because it's a pretty, it's what they call an inflection point, right?
I always like to think ahead, though.
I know. I appreciate that. Well, that's why you're an investment guy, okay? It's not about what's happening now. It's what's going to, what you think is going to happen. 3 after 8. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to get off of the, this political conversation for a little bit. I'm going to talk with Keegan Van Hook. And there is a 6-part documentary series on Southern Oregon PBS. It's called, it's Energy Horizons, Exploring Oregon's Energy Futures. And we'll talk about what is involved in this, because I've been paying a lot of attention to the renewable energy world, as you well know, and I've had my issues. But I want to find out what this documentary series is going to be all about. 6 parts, so it's a big deal.
This is Brent with Home and...